When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast with me, Rich Ferrara, and welcome to our Friday Five Roundup. It's Friday the 26th of April, and yet again, it's been another week at the City Ground full of, well, I was going to say ups and downs, but it's mainly been downs, it feels like. Certainly, Forest have got the football world talking, for good or for bad, we'll leave you to decide. In order to get a handle on this, let's head straight over to the 1865 news desk, where we'll hear from Jamie Martin.
Hi, this is Jamie Martin with your top five Forest stories from the 1865 news desk. Now, the headline to this week's news: Nottingham Forest have released a strong statement following a controversial Everton loss. During Forest's most recent fixture in the Premier League against Everton at Goodison Park, the Reds ran a fairly poor performance, losing the game by 2-0. However, they were denied potentially 3 penalty calls, sparking controversy of the highest level. Giovanni Reina was kicked on his heel while inside the 18-yard box. He fell, with Anthony Taylor completely dismissing the protests. Later, Ashley Young handballed across from Hudson-Odoi, with the fullback's arm flailing in an unnatural position, and Taylor rejecting that protest too, and wasn't sent to the monitor to check. In the second half, Hudson-Odoi was running in the box, the Everton box, and Young slid in from behind to get the ball, taking out the Forest forward first, and once again, any call was rejected. VAR rejected the penalty shout, and 3 shouts altogether were rejected, 4 penalties by Nottingham Forest. Forest then issued a statement which read, 3 extremely poor decisions, 3 penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. Nottingham Forest will now consider its options. They released that just 5 minutes after full time. The comment was seen by 30 million people in its first week being posted on social media platform X, and as a result, the FA have launched an investigation into the tweets, which, according to them, questioned the integrity of the game and its officials. Now, to follow on from that, and the second piece of news this week, Forest have requested the VAR audio from the Everton game. Following the controversial statement, which raised questions regarding the season's poor officiating across the board within the football community, Forest released 2 more formal statements, one of those requesting audio from the PGMOL from the Everton game. The hope with having such audio of the decisions is that Forest can understand the rationale behind why 3 penalties weren't given or even checked by the referee on the pitch side monitor. Following on from the request, Forest were granted access to such audio, with the club expected to receive it by this weekend or later, but on the terms that for now it is kept private between the club and the PGMOL. It cannot be released to the public as of yet. Howard Webb is yet to publicly comment on the calamity that was seen at Goodison Park last weekend, but the PGMOL and Nottingham Forest are now in a period of tension which has sent shockwaves through the footballing community. It's also now been reported that Howard Webb will meet the Nottingham Forest ownership and discuss recent issues and try and create peace talks, according to the Daily Mail. Now, the third piece of news this week, somewhat similar and relevant to the last pieces of news. Forest are considering legal action against Gary Neville following mafia gang comment. Reports from the Daily Mail Sport this weekend suggest that Nottingham Forest are considering legal action against Sky Sports pundit and Gary Neville, and indeed Sky Sports, over comments that likened Forest's statement after the Everton game to mafia behaviour. The comments made on a panel live at Craven Cottage discussing the Fulham v Liverpool game featuring Luis Saha, Jamie Carragher and Mr Neville came after a question from David Jones as to what the panellists thought about the Reds' statement. Neville was quick to respond, criticising the statement, describing the club as acting like a petulant child, and then describing how he feels Forest acted like a mafia gang during the period, causing anger and upset in the hierarchy at Nottingham Forest, particularly within the ownership. It is unclear as to whether Forest will actually launch such a challenge against Mr. Neville and Sky Sports, but regardless, Forest are unhappy with the statement. Gary Neville was supposed to be present at the City Ground this Sunday for Nottingham Forest fixture against defending Premier League champions Manchester City. However, it has now been reported and revealed that Gary Neville will not be present at the City Ground following the potential legal action and comments made by him. It's unclear whether Jamie Carragher will be or not, but as far as it suggests at the moment, Gary Neville will not be present at the City Ground. Now, number four in this week's news, Mark Clattenburg could stay at Forest beyond the summer, reports infer. Reports in the media this week have suggested that Nottingham Forest board advisor Mark Clattenburg could stay at the club past summer when his contract runs out, with the ownership happy with his current work. The ex-Premier League referee turned board advisor at Nottingham Forest, not referee analyst as some have labelled it, has been at the club since February after a shock appointment. In the hopes to improve the club's understanding of refereeing, the PGMOL and what options the club has during times of turbulence like current times. Mr. Clattenburg regularly speaks with the chairman, Tom Cartledge, and owner Evangelos Marinakis to advise on refereeing topics, avenues the club can take amidst issues with the PGMOL, legal support and support for the first team. Forest ownership are understood not to be in any rush to see Clattenburg depart and could even potentially extend his time at the club in the summer, but that is yet to be confirmed and there's nothing at the moment saying either that he will leave or that he won't. It's a discussion ongoing and we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. And now finally, the last piece of news, again relative to the statement and the Everton game. Forest did not request VAR officials' removal, but there was contact made to discuss the issue. Now, reports from major media outlets this week discussed Nottingham Forest's contact with the PGMOL, citing that no request for Stuart Atwell's removal from VAR was made. However, the club did have contact with Howard Webb surrounding the issue beforehand. Mark Clattenburg, the club's board advisor, contacted the head of the PGMOL, Howard Webb, his former colleague, mentioning allegiance forms and that Atwell's allegiance to Luton was well known, with Howard Webb dismissing this and claiming he did not know of such allegiance, according to the Daily Mail Sport. The same report suggests that Mr. Clattenburg asked for VAR officials to be swapped as the situation could cause issues. Of course, a grand foresight of what occurred at Goodison last week, a situation that could have been avoided. Forest mentioned in the controversial post-match statement that they had warned the PGMOL of Atwell's supposed support for Luton Town, which we now know came in the form of dialogue between Mark Clattenburg and Howard Webb in an 8-minute phone call just last week. So it's been a busy week, and that is the latest from the 1865 News Desk. I'm Jamie Martin. Be sure to catch up with me on social media via jamiemartin_journalist on Instagram. My Twitter account is currently having some issues, hoping to be back soon. And still, though, updates on Nottingham Forest-related news throughout the week. Take care. Speak to you soon.
Thank you very much to Jamie. A lot to report upon. Essentially, it's one story with so many different facets. So I'm joined once again by the Maradona of the Midlands to talk through some of it. And Maradona, it's been quite a turbulent week, hasn't it?
Tumultuous, one might say. Tumultuous.
Tempestuous.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Traumatic, yes, indeed. I've run out of things to begin with T at the moment, so let's just move on. And, well, another thing beginning with T is Tom. So our very own Tom Newton, he was at Goodison, and you may have heard his thoughts post-match after the game on Sunday. And I think it's fair to say that Tom wasn't very happy with the statement. He was one of the many fans who said they found it a bit embarrassing, a little bit... yeah, and they're a little bit concerned about the tone of it. And since then, Tom's had a little chance to have a think. Here's what he had to say.
So as I was walking to the car from Goodison Park, I was dead against the tweet what Forrest sent out regarding the referee. I think it was ill-advised. However, I did agree with the sentiment with the tweet. But if Forrest sent out that statement, what they released on Monday after the game on Sunday, I think the media wouldn't have had much of a field day because I think this statement was much more professionally written than the knee-jerk tweet what was released on Sunday straight after the full-time whistle. So, and then since then, I do get why Forest agree if they've gone down all the proper channels and etc. And nothing has improved in terms of refereeing and the decisions what we've been on the receiving end of. So I don't think it's going to improve anytime soon. I don't think the PGMOL are going to say, I'll give Forest five penalties on Sunday. It doesn't work like that. But Forest has basically got the footballing world talking, and hopefully going forward, it puts the spotlight on the PGMOL, and hopefully next season, with us hopefully in the Premier League, VAR, etc., will be a lot better in this country.
Thank you very much, Tom. Maradona, I was on Five Live and also did a couple of clips for Gem Radio. So listeners, if you've heard me a lot this week, then I apologise for that. I also had a chat with Anfield Rap on their Coach Home podcast. And one of the things that was interesting is that there was a consensus. I think there is generally a consensus that Forest were hard done by with the penalty awards, and also that they kind of got progressively worse as they went along. Now, we're not here to talk about decisions because we've already discussed the Everton match. What I would like to do is just skip forward to Jamie's third story, because Tom made the point, just as I made the point on Five Live, that the initial tweet, it was instant, it was emotional. And Gary Neville said that Forrest were being like a petulant child, and then he's now apparently, I hadn't heard this, being threatened with legal action by the club for suggesting mafia behaviour. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think he was completely correct when he said they acted in a petulant way. It was completely unprofessional. We may all agree with the sentiment of it, but they are in a position where they have a responsibility to act with a duty of care to the club. And they not just act like a fan down the pub, as Jamie Carragher said. It was embarrassing. I've heard during the course of it, they're ready to fire one off at half-time. That tweet, Marinakis was sort of cut, talked down from the edge of the building to send that at half time. So, he's completely correct. It's unprofessional, and it should, for a club that has aspirations of being a big club, it's acting in a really small club way over this whole episode.
Isn't it just what Alex Ferguson used to do? As you brought that big club analogy, and we're talking about Gary Neville, Alex Ferguson used to put pressure on refs every single week, before, during and after.
Yeah, but that's the manager. I can understand if Nuno had a heated rant at him at the official. I can understand Nico Williams. But for the club ownership, the people who are put in place to run it in a professional way, to think calmly about it, so for them to do it is, I think, it's inexcusable. It really is. In lots of walks of life, in lots of businesses, there's a general rule where if you run a people-facing business, a public-facing business, that the overall owner doesn't necessarily have contact with the public. They have people in place who talk to them, because you're too heavily invested. You can get upset with them if it's because it's your money. You're hurting. So as a general rule, in say like a restaurant or a hotel, anything like that, you have people in place to do their jobs. And I think it was indicative of the lack of structure at the club, the lack of ability at the top end of the club, that this was able to happen. This was able to go out. It shouldn't be there. He should have people in place whose job it is to send out communications, and he has to trust in them and rely on them to do that. Not just say, I'm the owner, this is going to happen now, we're going to send it out. It's just not the way to run a club that has aspirations, as I said previously, to be a big, big club. It's just not the way. Arsenal wouldn't do it. Man City wouldn't do it. Liverpool wouldn't do it. So, yeah, I stand by what I say.
OK, let's just bring in something that emerged today. And I've not read the full piece, but there were some reports that Oliver Glasner, who is, as predicted, was a slow starter at Palace, but has got the team playing more progressively, getting the results to show for it as well, with the same, you know, squad that he inherited, that he was ready to come to Forest, but he wanted to stay in transfers. And he, that's what put the Forest board off, and they chose Nuno. And of course, with Nuno, there's the Jorge Mendes connection. Would you say that that is also a symptom of exactly the same thing that you've just described in terms of, as an owner, you need to be a bit detached and you need to allow people, put trust in people in different positions.
Yeah, I mean, we've got this constant churn of people from the playing staff upwards. I don't know who our sporting director, if we've got a sporting director now, if we've got a director of football, it just seems to change constantly. Have we got a chief executive anymore? I don't know. Is the chairman doing a chief executive's role? I'm not sure. It's there's just no, it looked like we had a structure during the promotion season and we tore it up and started again. And so I don't know. I think that even if Glasner came in, it wouldn't have lasted too long, would it? He would have got frustrated and I don't think he would have been here long term.
As the host of the podcast, my job is to be relatively impartial on that, but it's difficult to disagree with you on that last point. I mean, there are things that you've said earlier on that you know, everyone will have their own opinions on, particularly with regard to the penalties and how emotional certain people are allowed to be. Obviously, Nuno, perhaps ill-advisedly, said on Radio Nottingham afterwards, if we're in another country, people will be talking about conspiracy. So, that may be, you know, he's old enough and clever enough to, and also fluent enough in enough different languages to not be able to hide behind the language barrier on that one as well. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but I mean, you can understand a manager or a player having that emotion because they've just been through the ringer for 90 minutes and emotions running high. Yeah, I mean, from Nuno's aspect, it does seem like a bit more of a thought out comment. Almost sort of a strategy we've got now of sort of questioning the referees and their integrity, which I don't like. I don't like it at all. We've become a sort of a whingy, whiny club over the last few months.
Let me throw you this analogy, and you'll have seen that I've used this. Okay, I've used the analogy of Basil Fawlty when he's beating his car with that branch. It's a man who's reached the end of his tether. Nuno publicly suggesting conspiracy is the man reaching the end of his tether. Nico Williams, somebody who, you know, is a young man, but comes across very well generally. And the fact that he did an interview where he spent like 2 minutes just saying, I just don't understand. It feels like it's always going against us. The fact that Morgan Gibbs White, another young man, you know, he did that. And then for the club owner, and we know that he's an emotional character, to put out that statement. This is because they've just been ground down and down and down. And as we've pointed out on several occasions, it's a quarter of the season where decisions have gone against us. And either the independent panel or the punditry world in general have accepted that Forest have been hard done by. How many times does that have to happen before someone should be saying something?
I mean, it's fine to say something, but say it in a controlled way, like they did with the releases afterwards, the press release from the next day. Coming out with and firing it out like that, it's just not the way you do things. And I don't know how. I don't know what they were thinking they were going to achieve by it. It's a bit like, you're perfectly right. It's a bit end of his tether. That's fine. But you sort of walk away, cool down and leave it to the people whose job it is to write these things and release these things. You don't just send it out like that. It's ridiculous.
Okay. On Wednesday night, Wolves felt that they were the victim of another decision. And Wolves are the other club who... Wolves and Liverpool and Forest are the three clubs who everyone's, you know, there's a consensus that they've been the biggest victims of refereeing injustices this season, statistically in terms of VAR decisions and those kinds of things, and the findings of the independent panel. So Wolves felt another decision went against them. Listener, I will leave it to you to decide whether that was a clear decision or not. But Jeff Shee wrote a statement on the Wolves website 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he's the club chairman and he put that statement out there. Would you have advised him against doing that?
I don't know. I've not seen the statement. Depends what he said in it. I don't know. What did he say on in the
well
statement?
He basically said the decisions have gone against us. It was less emotional than what you might expect from our head honcho, but presumably that's also because there'd been enough time for the PR people to go through it and filter it.
Well, yeah, I think the problem with our statement also was that we're looking into our options. As it had a slightly threatening tone to it, which I don't know what.
Which
what
is what led to Gary Neville's.
Yeah. What are their options? But the only thing I could assume from that was that they were looking to take legal action. The speed that it was released, everything about it was wrong.
Okay. All right. Well, you've made your views very, very clear. Let's move on to the statements that were made the following day then. They've requested the audio. I think most people would agree that's pretty reasonable to do. They also, you know, made a more considered statement where they kind of basically tried to pour a little bit of oil on troubled waters. But thinking about the VAR audio, wouldn't you agree it's ridiculous that we don't routinely get to hear VAR audio anyway?
Yeah, it is. I think there should be a lot more transparency in the game. I think there should be interviews with referees, not necessarily straight away after the match, but maybe in the evening. From a neutral person, just giving their views of their decisions. And there's no harm with releasing the audio. I don't know why it's such a big secret that they can't just release it straight away.
Why? I mean, it makes it worse, doesn't it? Oh, yes, you can listen to the audio, but no one else is allowed to. It does make it does get conspiracy theorists, gets their fingers and their brains and their tongues wagging, doesn't it?
Well, if you want to go down the conspiracy theory route, what's to stop them from editing the audio and manipulating
it? Deepfaking it.
And then passing it on to the club. I mean, you can do it.
So in the audio, if you hear a Greek voice coming over saying, that's not the right decision.
But, I don't know. I don't think there is a conspiracy. The problem with VAR is, and football in general, it's a subjective sport. People always say, oh, well, they get it right in cricket, they get it right in rugby. But they're factual decisions where they're being made in football. I don't know if it still says it, but when we were growing up, the laws used to say in the opinion of the referee, and every referee is going to have a different opinion. The handball, Ashley Young handball, is a perfect example of that. You can have 100 people in the room, and 50% will say that is a handball, 50% will say it wouldn't. It's just their opinion. There's no factual way of deciding if that was too close. If he only had like 2 milliseconds to react, is that a natural position? I mean, Jamie in the news said it was in an unnatural position. I don't think it was in an unnatural position. It was by the side of his body. Where else is he supposed to put his arm?
I mean, obviously the whole debate about slowing it down and so on and so forth. Yeah. I thought that he flicked his arm out as the ball hit his hand. And I also think, most importantly, you look at Ashley Young's face after it happens, and that's the face of a man who goes, oh crap, what have I just done?
Well, yeah, there was a very slight movement, so that would be on the side of, yeah, maybe it was a handball and it should be given. But you take, I mean, for what it's worth, I probably would have given it on the balance of play, but I can very clearly understand why it wouldn't be given. It's debatable. And that's the problem with VAR and refereeing in general, because it's just somebody else's opinion on top of somebody else's opinion. So it's two opinions. It's opinion squared. It's not getting any. There's no factual truth in football where that's A, therefore B happens. They try and write that in the rules, and you get very, very complicated rules coming out now, like the handball ones. What was wrong with saying deliberate handball like it used to be?
Well, just generally, and again, thinking about a bygone era and being nostalgic about it, generally, when I was a kid, if a player waved their arms about in the box and the ball hit it, it's a penalty. Yeah. So, I mean, there's. I would agree with you, and this is something we have talked about. The laws of the game are ridiculously complex these days, and handball is one of them. Offside is another, and there's several laws that, and secondly, that thing about things being subjective, I think the Coventry offside is a case in point, because I've seen a double freeze frame. So one at the moment where they drew the line and Hadji Wright's foot, his toenail was offside. And another one frame later, where the ball still seemed to be being played and Hadji Wright was onside. So even when you're doing something that's supposedly binary, even then, there's still grey areas.
Well, I heard on the radio somebody was speaking. I can't remember who now, They were talking to somebody who works in the film industry, and they say they're using the wrong sort of cameras to just make those sort of decisions. They gave some technical names about this sort of camera. You can't do what they're trying to do with it. You need this sort of camera filming in this way to do that. So it is just a very, they take an arbitrary point of, this is where it's left the ball. How do you decide when it's left the ball, when the ball's left the foot? You can't. It's the offside rule, when they do those lines, it's ridiculous. And when they first introduced VAR, I don't think anybody thought that they were going to change it from, if you're level, you're onside. Nobody used to mind about that. If you give the advantage to the attacker, we were all very happy with that. But for 20-odd years, we got lots more goals, and nobody ever complained. If the majority of your body is level, you're onside. And it's, I don't know why they brought it in. They just created a rod for their own backs with this.
Well, yes. There's definitely a case that everything has become a lot more complex than it needs to be, and that is very rarely a good thing. The final thing I will just add on this, and forgive me because I cannot remember for the life of me which journalist it was who said this, but I saw something saying everyone thought that introducing VAR would introduce an element of technology and automation to make things better, but it's still the same people that we've been grumbling about on the pitch. It's just that there's another, like you said, another layer of people providing a subjective opinion. And that seems to me to be a good place to leave it for part one.
Like all of our podcasts this season, this episode of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Make Green King your go-to destination for the season's final stretch. But why? Well, for one, you can wash every televised Forest game down with delicious food and refreshing beverages. And with 900 sports pubs dotted around the UK, chances are you're within walking distance of your local Green King. Let's be honest, watching football is way better with friends and family. So get the squad together for every televised Premier League fixture in an atmosphere worth sharing. That includes huge title showdowns, huge. The race for European qualification and nail-biting relegation six-pointers, unfortunately, involving our very own Nottingham Forest. Don't forget to download the Green King Sport app to enjoy exclusive competitions and discounts whenever there's a game on. Now it's back to your podcast.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Welcome back to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, with me, Rich Ferraro, and him, the Maradona of the Midlands. Maradona, we've had quite a Barney in the first part discussing the issues at hand. You've made your views very, very clear, and I think everyone has an opinion, and that's, which is part of the problem. Speaking of opinions, as I mentioned earlier, I was asked to go on Radio 5 Live speaking to Claire McDonnell, and here's just a little snippet of the conversation.
What do you think it does to the game when the intentions of those checking that are called into play?
Well, let's put it this way. If it was Liverpool versus Arsenal and there was an official from Manchester who was either on the pitch or in the VAR room, then you could understand there being some eyebrows raised. I'm not accusing Atwell of any kind of corruption. However, I think it's fair to say he's not the most popular man in Nottingham after a combination of decisions over the last few years. But I think that's more to do with, again, it's down to competence rather than conspiracy.
Maradona, competence rather than conspiracy, cock-up rather than corruption. That's the approach I'm taking. There are other fans who may have other opinions. Where do you stand on this?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I mean, the other element of the tweet was that it called into question his integrity and said he was a Luton fan.
This brings us back to two things. So, number one, I'm not sure there's a football fan in the country who likes it when they see Stuart Atwell on the list of officials, either for on-pitch or off-pitch matters. He's not one of the more popular ones, is he?
No, I mean, he's been an example of incompetence for the past 20 years or whatever. I was reminded that he was in charge of the game where he gave the ghost goal.
Crucially,
yeah.
It featured Watford. So if he is a Luton fan, then all of a sudden...
Yeah, but Yeah, he's just, I mean, he, just like anybody else, will make mistakes. Some people make more mistakes than others, and he seems to be one of those people. But but to question his integrity like that, and going on to my next point, which is, I think, the conciliatory tone in the press releases from the club the following days, I think a large element of that was somebody must have pointed out some, hang on, guys, this guy can take you to court for libel for this. You're defaming his character. So they're trying to pull back on their initial tweet, backpedaling, if you will, just to cover their backs a small amount. But I mean, I'm no lawyer, as you know. I'm no solicitor, but I would think if I was him.
Listener, I can confirm he's no lawyer.
I think I would have a pretty strong case against the club. I mean, you keep on hearing things about the club want to take this person to court, want to take that person to court. Well, I think they've opened up a can of worms there where they left themselves open to legal action as well.
Well, you know, there's a possibility. I mean, Howard Webb said he did not know about a Luton allegiance. So, Maradona, you and Howard Webb have something in common. And there are sort of, you know, conflicting reports about Atwell's allegiances. I mean, certainly, I mean, he is a football referee, so I'd expect him to have allegiance to some team or other, because there's not that many people who are football fans without having a soft spot for a club or team. Speaking of referees, Mark Clattenburg, apparently, according to what Jamie said, and this is new to me, he's a board advisor, not a refereeing analyst. And therefore, there is some talk that his appointment, which was initially until the summer, may be made longer term. Can we assume if we go down, that's going to be pretty pointless?
I mean, his role is he's a waste of space. There's absolutely no need to give him that job in the first place. He adds nothing to the organisation. There's nothing to understand about refereeing. It's just I don't blame him. He's getting free money for doing nothing, basically.
I'm the tax man, might have something to say about that. But let's just clarify. According to what we've been told, his role is to give reports to the coaching staff and the players about the team of officials who they will be facing. So, for example, if there's a ref who very easily gives yellow cards for dissent, it just says, OK, keep your mouth shut for a little while. Or if there's a referee who will hold fire with the cards for the first half an hour and then go a bit card crazy in the last 20 minutes. Well, a bit like Anthony Taylor did last Sunday, actually. But if there's a ref who's doing that, it means the players are forewarned and the coaching staff are forewarned. So that's what the official thing is. And then there is the idea that Clattenburg will also act as a go-between with Pogmoll. But, I mean, you're reading between the lines, and this is in the realms of conjecture. You know, we know that Clattenburg has been not necessarily the most popular figure amongst his fellow men in black, and also that he was a divisive figure amongst fans as well. So it does seem as though it may have caused as much damage as it solved.
Well, there are three possible outcomes from his appointment. One, nothing happens. It's the same thing as before. We don't get any more decisions, or we do get interested. Second, he did influence referees, and we did get a better reaction from them, which I think is worse than anything, because that means a club is influencing the referees and you're undermining the integrity of the game. The third thing was things would get worse. And I think this is actually what's happened. The people who appointed him have a fundamental lack of understanding of how the world of referees works. They are a bunch of prima donnas, and they all hate each other. So he is possibly the most hated figure out of all of them. Referees make jokes about his tan. He apparently used to drive around in a Porsche when he was a Premier League referee. That was a sense of a source of much humour for his colleagues.
His tattoos,
and so. To think that he could have a positive influence on them, I think is false. Even the phone call on the Friday when he phones up, do you think that wouldn't have got back to Stuart Atwell? Howard Webb wouldn't have said that? And even if subconsciously you're thinking, Well, you said that, did you? All right. Well, he's not going to ingratiate you to...
human beings are human beings, aren't they?
Human beings are human beings. If you're on teetering on the edge of making it, you're going to go against him. You think, who the hell are you to say, trying to do me out of a job on a Sunday afternoon? You're trying to get him out of his match fee. So, I think the whole thing is disastrous. And again, points to the lack of structure, lack of ability maybe at the top of our club, lack of qualified people at the top of our club to run what is supposed to be a multi-million pound professional, publicly, well, internationally important organisation. I think we're just lacking maybe over the course of the season. I think it's going to become more and more apparent we're just lacking a level of expertise in the club, which is harming us.
Okay, so with this in mind, let's do this quickly. But we'll just move on to something, and I shall just remind the listener and you, Maradona, you're no lawyer, so be very careful how you say this. Do you think that the current ownership are a help or a hindrance to Nottingham Forest Football Club?
Well, in the sense that they've ploughed in about £500 million of their own money, they're in that sense, they're a tremendous help. But they kill the club with kindness and with their own meddling. If you just put in a right structure, leave the people to do their jobs and just do it a bit more logically, I think we'd be in a stronger position. I think if we'd bought less players this last summer, we'd be in a stronger position. I think buying all the players and trying to kill the club with kindness and trying to sort of run before you can walk, sort of voting with the big six clubs in Premier League meetings rather than actually looking at the reality of the situation of what we are, is a small club, and we're sort of cutting off our own noses to spite our face because he's got some overarching ambition that we're going to be a European superpower. So the rules that favour the European, the clubs that qualify for Europe, but actually harm the lower clubs, but voting for them constantly, it just needs a healthy dose of reality. Maybe not so many yes men around the club. Maybe just saying, look, this is we've got to look, could be realistic of where we are. At the moment, if we go down, we're going to be in no better position than we were when we came up.
Possibly worse because of the contracts, player contracts with no relegation clauses and so on and so forth. Yeah, I'm just going to throw this out here and we'll use this as our closing gambit for today. Did the Marinakis regime just stumble upon a winning formula when they had Dane Murphy, Tamer Rushdie and Steve Cooper in their respective jobs and then destroy that by getting overexcited when that delivered success within a year?
Yes, 100%. I've been thinking about this, and just that combination of those people just produced a moment of alchemy where they managed to produce gold out of some base metals. Another analogy I was thinking it fits very well with is the monkey and typewriter analogy. If you put 1,000 monkeys with 1,000 typewriters in a room for long enough, eventually they'll write Hamlet. And it just so happened that all the millions of combinations we've had, how many players have we seen pass through the revolving door of our football club in the last 5-6 years? How many coaches? How many executives? And at one point, they were there. It all worked out very well. And it was just pure luck, really, that they all happened to be there at the same time. We managed to get a player called Jed Spence through the door, and we were pushed on to promotion. There's no logical reason why we did that, but whatever worked, we tore it up and started again. And we're going to do it again this summer. We all know it's going to happen. We're going to have a massive churn of players again because that's just what we do at Nottingham Forest.
And with that, we will leave it there. So I want to say thank you to various people. Thank you very much to the Maradona Midlands. I've heard that somebody who sounds like you is going to be on Talk Sports this Sunday, speaking to Max Rushton. And also, Thank you very much to Jamie Martin for providing, catching, rounding up and presenting the news. And also to Tom for updating his thoughts. Thank you to Five Live, Anfield Rap, Gem and Greatest Hits East Midlands for getting in touch and allowing me to share their thoughts. Also, there's a piece in The Eye that I contributed to, along with a few other Forest supporters. So go out and check those out. And we will be back after the weekend's match against Man City. I'm not going to be so foolish as to make any predictions as to what's going to happen in that match, but we will be reporting back from it, and that will be in your podcast feed early in the week. So stay tuned. If you haven't liked, subscribed, commented, reviewed, or whatever so far, then all of our links are available at 1865.football. Enjoy your weekend.
I'm warning you with peace and love.
Sports Social Podcast Network.